including the stranger, Foreigners and the Former Prophets, by David Firth, IVP 2019, 218 pages. About the author. David Firth is tutor in Old Testament at Trinity College, Bristol, and research fellow of the University of the Free State, South Africa. He has authored and edited various commentaries and books on Old Testament studies. Table of Contents. 1. Concerning Foreigners and the Former Prophets. 2. The Book of Joshua, The Identity of the People of God. 3. The Book of Judges, The People Through Whom Yahweh Works. 4. The Books of Samuel, Foreigners as the Means of Assessing Israel. 5. The Books of Kings, Foreigners Beyond the Borders of Israel. 6. Foreigners and the People of God. Summary. Chapter 1. Concerning Foreigners and the Former Prophets. It can often be difficult to identify what makes someone a foreigner, and various cultures seem able to both classify all foreigners together and also to differentiate them into groups that are either desired or undesired. Often, it is the speaker who identifies someone as part of the us or other, and this is not always based on race. Given personal experience and context, a foreigner can sometimes see things in the biblical text that people in the dominant culture miss. In scripture, the former prophets provide a narrative look at foreigners which goes beyond the ethical minimums enjoined in the law. There are numerous engagements with foreigners in this corpus, and this reality makes the former prophets an excellent place to study this theme. The narrative text helps reveal who is included and who is excluded from Israel, along with the grounds for that identification. In our contemporary church culture, we need to study the former prophets because they are often misunderstood as being highly negative towards foreigners. They are sometimes seen as endorsing bigotry, violence, and genocide. It is necessary to read the narrative for its theological and ethical norms, but this requires careful interpretation. Oftentimes, the narrator does not evaluate the story, since the expectation is that the reader has the maturity to discern what is good and evil in it. Narrators often tell enough to get the reader's attention and to cause them to reflect, but they do not tell everything. Chapter 2. The Book of Joshua, The Identity of the People of God. Given the common conception that the Book of Joshua endorses genocide and xenophobia, Christians cannot afford to ignore it. Joshua is historiography. That is, it is real history, but selective and woven into an artistic narrative, and represents a conquest narrative. Features of this genre include hyperbole in communication, and we can clearly see this element in descriptions of military victories. Joshua 1 presents the Canaanites as the other to Israel, but Joshua 2 immediately introduces Rahab, humanizing the Canaanites, and exempting her from the ban. Thus, at the start of Joshua, questions are posed as to who is really part of Israel and how Israel is to relate to foreigners. When Jericho is taken in chapter 6, Rahab is saved and incorporated into Israel. Canonically, Rahab appears in the genealogy of Jesus and is also a New Testament model of faith. Right after Rahab, however, there is the story of Achan, who is a perfect insider in Israel, but who is excluded and cut off from the people because of his sin. Rahab the Canaanite in Jericho feared the Lord, but Achan, the Israelite, violates the Lord's command in the same city. Rahab is spared from the application of the ban, whereas Achan is put under it and executed as a Canaanite. One third of the way through Joshua, more space has been given by the narrator to reflecting on who is inside or outside of Israel than has been given to describing conquest. The covenant renewal ceremony on Mount Ebal indicates that belonging to the people of God is based on obedience to Torah rather than ethnicity. The foreigner is included. The Gibeonites require fresh reflections on the insider-outsider dichotomy, since they are neither really for or against Israel. There is a great deal of ambiguity in the textual description concerning their actions. They were cursed, yet able to live, and were partially integrated into Israel as servants. Israel's covenant with Gibeon leads to a war with other Canaanite cities. The allotment of tribal land in 13-21 also contains elements which reveal that inclusion in Israel is based on faith more than ethnicity. It is by faith that the land is taken, divided, and lived in. Caleb is subtly presented as a foreigner who has become an insider by living out the faith that Israel is supposed to have. Beyond Caleb, it seems that the Canaanites who continue to live and coexist in the land are divided roughly into three groups. 1. Neutral. 2. Negative threats. 3. Positive, like Rahab. In each case, it is not ethnicity, but religious influence which is in view. Cities of refuge were set aside without discrimination for both Israelites and resident foreigners. The stories surrounding the altar on the Jordan in Joshua 22 press the reader to reflect on what it means to be part of God's people. This event is pivotal for understanding who is considered a foreigner. Commitment to Torah and faithfulness to Yahweh are what ultimately matter. People outside of Israel's recognized boundaries can still have a share in Yahweh. Joshua's final speeches in 23-24 warn against those who can lead Israel away from the Lord and remind Israel that they only stand by faith. The concern is religion, worship, and false gods, not ethnicity. Chapter 3. The Book of Judges. The people through whom Yahweh works. Joshua establishes the principle that Israel is primarily a faith community rather than one identified by ethnicity. But the question remains as to whether Yahweh works equally through all. Due to their sin, Israel in Judges often receives covenant curses, and part of these punishments include foreigners attacking and conquering them. Nevertheless, Judges shows that foreigners can be instruments of judicial punishment, but can also be used by God to deliver his people. Othniel and the Kenites show at the very beginning of Judges that foreigners could work with Israel in ways that please the Lord, while Adoni-Bezek serves as the negative example. The report of the tribes of Israel, their settlements, and their relation to the surrounding Canaanites continues to reveal that it is not ethnicity but foreign worship and religion that is the threat. After Joshua's death, Judges makes it clear that foreigners would pose a religious threat to Israel, and that Israel must prove itself faithful to God. The book's main themes are hinted at in the introductory material, and they are illustrated in the lives and events of individual judges. Othniel in 3:7-11 is the subject of a brief report rather than a full story, but he shows the need of the empowerment of the Spirit, and he is a foreigner. The report given of him as a judge is formulaic and reveals him to be a paradigmatic deliverer. Shamgar is a foreigner who was used to deliver Israel, and he may not even have been a Yahwist. Foreigners often played a stereotyped role in the stories of the major judges. They were used by God to punish his unfaithful people. Jael is not a judge, but as a foreign woman, she puts the commander Sisera to death, aiding Israel to achieve victory. Yahweh's use of foreigners to accomplish his victorious purposes is a key idea in the opening chapters of Judges, and in the Song of Deborah. Deborah had predicted that the glory of victory would go to a woman, and it does. Not to herself, but the foreign woman, Jael. With the major judges in the remainder of the book, foreigners are often the means of ensnaring Israel in sin, as well as being the instruments of judgment. Often the text shows that Yahweh accomplishes his will by using those outside of Israel. In the narratives, Israel often acts like the Canaanites, thus moving away from the Lord. Jephthah's actions show that he is aligned with pagan practices, and the judges reveal more or less conformity to Canaanites' ways. Judges 17-21 shows how Israel continues to spiral down into accepting Canaanite practices and ways of living. Israelites become Canaanites through idolatry. The tribe of Dan is seen to be like the Canaanites in Judges 18, and then Benjamin is cast as being as corrupt as Sodom in the next chapter. All Israel gathers against Benjamin, which shows their exclusion on the basis of their wickedness. Carrying on from Joshua's important theme of the people of God, Judges continues to explore the identity of who is inside and outside of Israel. Chapter 4. The Books of Samuel. Foreigners as the means of assessing Israel. Samuel continues the theme in Judges that foreigners can become part of Israel, and that Yahweh can work through them. In Samuel, foreigners primarily help the reader evaluate various Israelites. The interactions that the prophet Samuel, Saul, and David have with foreigners helps us understand their own characters inside of the larger theme of the developing monarchy. Samuel interacts with foreigners as hostile fighting groups, but Yahweh also fulfills his words of judgment against Eli and Israel by raising up foreigners to fight against them. At different times, Yahweh both defeats and works through foreigners. In taking a king for themselves, the people were at risk of installing someone who could lead them towards pagan ways. It was imperative that Israel see that Yahweh was still their ultimate king and deliverer, even if they had a human king over them. It is in his failures with the Philistines and then with the Amalekites that Saul is weighed and found wanting, losing his right to be king. It is through foreign powers that Saul's failure to understand Yahweh's kingship is exposed. In contrast, Jonathan is evaluated positively by his initiative and military engagement with foreign powers. Starting in 1 Samuel 16, there's a shift away from foreign nations to the role of individual foreigners in evaluating Saul and David. When David faces Goliath, instead of casting it as himself versus the giant warrior, he sees it as Yahweh winning the battle and proving his strength beyond Israel. Later in Samuel, Saul fails by relying on Doeg the Edomite, a foreigner who egregiously misunderstands Yahweh's will. Saul also consulted a witch, engaging in Canaanite sorcery. Before Saul's death, David shows himself to be someone who treats foreigners appropriately, kindly to those who are allies, but able to fight those who are against Israel. And this points to his ability to be a good king. During David's reign, he is evaluated fairly positively, and foreigners are used as mechanisms in this evaluation process. David leads in battle, but it is the Lord who overcomes hostile foreign powers. Uriah the Hittite is a paradigm for how a foreigner can be godly and integrated into Israel, while the king fails in covenant faithfulness. Uriah demonstrates profound commitment to the Lord and his law. In David's flight from Absalom, it is the wisdom and loyalty of foreigners which is stressed. Hushai is used by Yahweh to give advice to Absalom that leads to the latter's destruction, thus bringing about through the mouth of a foreigner the delivery that God intended. At the end of 2 Samuel, David is shown to be a good king by honoring the oath of Israel to the Gibeonites, which Saul had violated. More importantly, the plague against Israel is stopped at Araunah, the Jebusite's threshing floor, as Araunah models to David a proper response before the Lord. Chapter 5. The Books of Kings. Foreigners Beyond the Borders of Israel. Kings is written with full awareness of the material in Samuel. And when it looks at foreigners, it is often those who are outside of the boundaries of Israel, but who find that Yahweh is at work in their lives. The temple is described as a place to draw foreigners. Although foreigners are no longer used as the mechanism to evaluate the kings, unlike in Samuel, unfaithful foreigners are still seen as a temptation to lead Israel away from the Lord. The Solomon narrative in 1 Kings 1 through 11 shows the potential that foreigners have in Israel for both good and for ill. While the marriage of Solomon to many foreign wives is disastrous, it is not because of their ethnicity, but rather because they lead his heart to other gods. The Queen of Sheba is presented as a powerful woman whose assessment of Solomon may raise questions about the accumulation of his wealth and the way that he is able to sustain it. Solomon's political relationships with foreign nations is presented ambiguously. The results of his alliances are mixed. When he prays to dedicate the temple, Solomon recognizes that many will hear of the Lord, come to the temple to worship, and be integrated into Israel. Some foreigners will worship the Lord even though they do not live within the boundaries of Israel. It is faith, not ethnicity, that matters. After Solomon, the kings of Israel are unfaithful to the Lord and worship foreign gods. Ahab is a paradigm of an idolatrous king, and a case can be made that Elijah, who opposes Ahab, is a foreigner who is faithful to Yahweh. God sends Elijah into pagan territory where Baal is worshipped, and it is there that he miraculously takes care of the widow. Jezebel is a foreign princess who drives Baal worship and leads Israel to oppose God and his prophet. In Kings, it is made clear that Israel is not to follow foreign gods and practices. When kings put their trust in foreign politics and religion, they fall under the Lord's judgment. A key story deals with Elisha and Naaman the Aramean, who is not only miraculously healed, but who is given permission to continue to worship Yahweh when he returns to his foreign land. Elisha's servant Gehazi is struck with Naaman's leprosy, thus being an Israelite who is rendered unclean, while Naaman was an unclean foreigner who is made clean and becomes part of Israel's life. 2 Kings 6 shows that Yahweh could easily defeat any hostile army, and since he had this power and ruled the nations, Israel could show mercy to foreign captives and still be safe. As the narrative in Kings continues, the disintegration of Israel and the rise of Assyria to conquer them is pinned not on the presence of foreigners in Israel, but rather on the fact that Israel forsook Yahweh for foreign gods. It is owing to their trust in the Lord that Hezekiah and Jerusalem are saved from the Assyrians. Manasseh is presented as a king who reverses the theology of Solomon's dedicatory prayer for the temple, and it is because of his idolatry and pagan worship practices that the ruin of Judah is set. The main issues were never ethnic and political, but religious. Chapter 6. Foreigners and the People of God. There are three main threads concerning foreigners in the former prophets. The first thread is that they are the enemies of Israel. In Judges, foreign armies are often raised up as instruments of judgment. The same is true of Assyria when they destroy the northern 10 tribes, but not when they attack Judah. When Israel is settled in the land, they sometimes experience battles with foreign armies as they compete for the same land and resources. The second threat is that Israel is to stand as a witness for the Lord to the nations. With Rahab as an example, it is made clear from the very beginning that foreigners can join Israel when they have faith in Yahweh. David and Goliath, Solomon's dedication of the temple, and Hezekiah's prayer in the face of the taunts of Assyria all point to the power and glory of God being seen by the nations. The third thread is that Israelites who are unfaithful to the Lord and who adopt foreign religions and practices are excluded from Israel. Ethnicity is not the major factor. There are echoes of these themes from the former prophets in subsequent texts in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. The former prophets show that Israel was to be open to foreigners, and that the temple and Israel's religion were to draw people of all nations into worship. Critically, the people of God were not defined by ethnicity, but rather by their faith in the Lord. God's plan of salvation has always included people of every ethnicity. Racism is never endorsed by God. With increased migration in the world today, churches need to ensure that they are open and inclusive for foreigners. In a world that can be torn by tribalism, colonialism, racism, and strife, the church can have a powerful witness by including the stranger. Copyright 2023, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced, in whole or in part, without express written permission.